Welcome to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast, your best source for information, news, tips, and tricks to get you off the ground running and earn success with your custom apparel decorating business. So get ready to soak up some knowledge. Now, here are your hosts, Mark and Mark.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 28 of the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast. This is Mark Stevenson from Cold Essie.
And this is Mark Vila from Coleman & Company. We are recording this time, right?
Yes, we are. This is our third try, folks. So okay. I know our 57th try of making sure that I hit the start recording button.
Third try, 28th podcast.
Yeah, and you know, episode 28, you're at this point in the podcast young life, it is starting to figure out how the heck it can make some more money. I mean, that's really what being 28 is all about. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, I'm sick of the crappy apartment. I'd like to move into something nicer. What do I need to do? So the title of this podcast is actually, what is the title of this
podcast? The Fundraising Market, How to Make Other People's Fundraising Work for You.
Yeah, I like that. And by work for you, I mean make you more money. And to kind of explain all this, we have the eminent, the famous, the plenipotentiary of online sales. No one knows what that means.
I'm really excited at this.
Yeah. Okay.
Time. I didn't know this was happening.
This is Marco Pena from Deco Network. Hey, Marco.
Hey guys. How are you? By the way, can I steal that from my business card? I love that.
Sure. If you can spell plenipotentiary.
Yeah, I was going to ask you for that, please.
Definitely do that.
I was take on my phone. If I type it in close enough, Google will get it right.
I don't think they will. So
I don't know how close we can get.
For those of you that don't know, Deco Network, Cold Essie and Coleman & Company and Deco Network have been working together for a long time. And they are basically the online sales experts and website experts specifically for the custom apparel business.
Yep, that's exactly right, Mark, and I appreciate that introduction. And that's exactly what we do. We empower you. We give you great tools to help you run your business more efficiently. It's all cloud-based, and I think some of the stuff that we're going to talk about in just a few minutes, we've got some incredible tools on how to empower you and really compete in a market that can be competitive. But we're going to give you the tools that you need to branch out, to be much more diverse, and you know what, your competition's just going to hate the fact that you're
doing that. I like that. All right, so I'm just going to set it up a little bit, and I'm sure that Mark Vila has some stories too, but you know, I went into the break room about 2 days ago, mm-hmm. and somebody had a catalog where you could buy kitchen gadgets.
Yeah, it was the kitchen stuff.
Kitchen stuff, and the traditional sign-up sheet, and you know, the one lady that brought that in to try to make some more money for school or you know, whatever it was, you know, would go around eventually and take everybody's order and pick up a check. So is it just this time of year, or is that happening constantly? You got kids in school,
and it's constantly happening.
Yeah.
You know, so if there's a sport going on, there's fundraising happening for that sport.
Yeah.
Little leagues and all these things. The Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts, Scouts with their like $40 bags of popcorn.
Oh my God.
And then there's the school stuff. There's private schools. There's the public schools do stuff. Churches do stuff.
Candy bar. Yeah. I mean, and they don't do good stuff either. They do like, yes, we want to go to a mission to Africa, so we'll wash your car, you know, or yes, you know, we need to do this, you know, camping trip for Boy Scouts, mm. and it's the same kind of thing. It's always wrapping paper or candles or
the world's best chocolate. That's not.
It's really not. I mean, Girl Scout cookies.
Okay.
They are.
Yeah, they're
they
good.
Are. That's a good thing. But Marco, I know you've got some numbers for us, because honestly, it would be a pleasure to buy a custom T-shirt in support of a group, rather than something I'm going to eat or wrap a present in.
Yeah, and especially when we can change it into the electronic to the digital world, where it makes it easier to share it, and it makes it easier to just text somebody a link or email somebody a link, you know, so be able to get electronically rather than these like old school forms and checks that, you know, when somebody asks me for a check, it's work.
Yeah, agreed.
Define, you know.
Marco, can you hear us okay?
Yep, absolutely. Okay, I'm cool. Here.
So break it down for us.
Well, you know, here's the thing. The thing that to remember is that fundraising is huge. It is a big, big, big business. I don't want to overwhelm you with numbers, but just check this out. So schools in the U.S. earn about $3.2 billion a year on fundraising. 76% of the schools, yeah, check this out. So 76% of the schools conduct between one and five fundraisers a year. You know, and then 19.6 conduct between 5 and 10 fundraisers a year. So it's not something that's kind of one and done. Most schools, 76% of them, do between 1 and 5. That's throughout the year. So what's really nice about this is the fundraising, of course, can be huge. It can be really big, as you heard, as far as the numbers are. But it's consistent. It's consistent business. It doesn't have to be, hey, I'm just going to do it one time throughout the year, and then I'm done, and then what do I do for the other 11 months?
Yeah.
The reality is that there's quite a bit of fundraising that's done. Now, that's just from a school level. You start looking at sports, it's so much more. Let's talk really quickly schools. In the U.S., there's over 98,817 schools. That's U.S. Regular schools. Private schools account for an additional 30,861, and then degree granting schools is 4,706. So that's just a lot of schools. Mark, do you mind if I share a little bit more numbers for these?
No, go ahead, because, you know, say it at least twice, because I think to impress on people the size of the market that we're going after is a big deal.
It's a huge deal. Again, U.S. schools. It's 98,817 schools. On top of that, you've got over 30,861 private schools, and then degree-granting schools would be 4,706 schools. Students, let's talk students. In the U.S., there's over 50 million students.
Jeez.
That's a lot of students.
Yeah.
On top of that, there's over 4.9 million in the private sector. So you've got, you know, roughly about 55 million students out there.
Okay, so there are about 122,000 schools.
Yep.
And all of them do fundraising, basically.
They all do fundraising.
Okay.
Now let's talk sports, because we're talking about schools. What about sports? Sports is the number one opportunity, in my opinion, for fundraising. And the reason why is because parents will buy to support their kids, and I've got some numbers on this. But most schools require their sports to do fundraising because there's just not enough money.
Yeah.
And so they have to do some level of fundraising. Check this out. In the U.S., there's over 7.6 million students that play sports. Now, those are kind of older numbers. I wasn't able to find anything, you know, in the last couple of years. Those are from 2011. So roughly that's going up. There's an expectation. There's probably closer to a little over 8 million now in today's date.
Right.
Millions of students that play sports. 56% of the students play some level of sports in high school, and so it's a big deal. Locally here, I went to one of the high schools locally here in Whittier, looked at Whittier High School. They have 19 sports. Did you imagine that? 19 sports, and it's not a, you know, overly big school. It's an average size school. It's got 19 sports
at the high school.
Three seasons at the high school level. That's right. That's right. And they have three seasons: fall, winter, and spring. So again, it's a consistent flow. I actually have also, if you guys are interested, a little bit later, I could share with you, you know, what sports are played at what season, because that's important. As you plan for fundraising, you need to know when do I prepare for football? When do I prepare for track? When do I prepare for?
Yeah, hey, you know what, Marco? If you could write that down and send that to me, I'd love to post that in the body of the podcast, because I think that's really valuable. Because you're going to tell us why it's a better idea for you to do custom apparel work than sell chocolate, and how that relates to our customers' business.
Absolutely, Mark. And the reality is, you know, I've thrown out these numbers, and the numbers, it's kind of hard to wrap your arms around it. It's kind of hard to really grasp. But what does that mean for me? And obviously what that means for you is it's an opportunity. Most of these schools, most of the fundraising is underserviced. And the reason for that is because most of these schools, they go out and they contract with a professional fundraising organization or company, and so they get stuck selling the cookies and the gift wrapping paper and the
right.
Popcorn and all this other stuff.
That's why every school sells basically the same stuff.
They sell the same thing because it's a huge organization that, yeah, it's a company that sells to these people, and they try to make it simple. But the reality is this. The fact is that most parents, and by the way, a very high percentage of parents actually support their kids. They love buying. In fact, 9 out of 10 parents purchase a product to support a child or school, according to the AFRDS. 9 out of 10, 71% of the parents out there sold to coworkers, family, and friends.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you've ever had your son or daughter in a sport, you know you're going to go out and buy stuff, and you're going to buy stuff because you want to support them. Because
I didn't because I was a terrible parent. So. They come to me that let me just write you a check for $20. Can I just do that? Just take all this stuff. Just give me money. I don't want the candle. That's really what I would say.
Well, but either way, you still wrote the check, right?
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. true. I did end up writing a check. And you're just talking about school so far, because I know that my daughter was in dance for several years.
Yep.
And you know, even the investment in costumes and in fundraising for that kind of was huge as well.
Huge. Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I mean, go ahead. I was going to say, I think that there's, when we're talking about all this, you know, all these things keep lighting up because when people are purchasing and these items for fundraising, you know, and everything that you've, Marco, that you've named, you know, the fact of the matter is that people do it out of the fact that they want to support their kids, not necessarily because of the product that they're going to get.
Yeah, of course not.
You know, it's frozen cookie dough. You know, it's these things that you can get. You can get something better somewhere else for a better price.
Right.
So you can go to the supermarket and get a better quality cookie dough mix than you'd get, you know, for $20. But you do it because you want to support them. And I think that what the apparel industry brings as far as the pitch that us as apparel decorators can make to the folks who are doing the fundraising is they're getting a twofold support of the kid here. They get to support them financially by buying, say, a shirt for
$20. Right. And then they get to wear their support.
They get to wear the support the next time they go to the event. So if you figure if there's, you know, you mentioned dance, if there's a little girl in dance and she's got, you know, maybe 6, 8, or 10 people come to the dance recital, they can all be wearing a shirt
and they would
supporting
love that.
It.
And
you know,
love
people love that.
As opposed to when I used to walk around the neighborhood holding a candle to support my daughter.
I'm
sorry, Mark. I was going to say you're absolutely right. Something as simple as just dance, mom. You'd be surprised if you put if on the day of practice or whatever, you put a little table and you put dance mom on a shirt.
Yeah,
you'd be surprised how much you would sell.
So I'm actually just kind of blown away by the numbers because if there are 122,000 schools and the average one, let's say the average school doesn't have 19 different sports, they've just got 10.
Yeah.
Just as an example, that's 1.2 million sporting teams that are out there. That you could potentially help their program be successful and make some money.
Oh, it's huge. So if you don't mind, let me share really quickly with you why I think apparel is perfect. Why, you know, let's forget about the chocolates. Let's forget about all that other stuff. And the reason why I think, if you may, I'd like to share just a couple thoughts with you guys. Tell me if you guys agree with this. And these are the ideas that I came up with in talking to, you know, people that do fundraising and some of our clients and some of their clients, right? And here's the thing. Parents are much more likely to purchase. And it's exactly what you said first, Mark, is it now I can purchase something that I'm actually going to have value. It's not a one and done. It's, you know, once I eat the cookie dough, it's done. It's gone. Plus, I shouldn't be eating cookie dough, right? It's not the popcorn that's, you know, $10 for a little 3-ounce bag.
Yeah.
They're much more likely to purchase because there's a higher perceived value in that. I can wear this shirt. I can wear this hat. I can wear these, you know, the sweater multiple times. The other reason why apparel is great, and when you make your pitch to the athletic director, to the coach, to the principal, whoever it is that you're making your pitch to, you want to write these down and you want to share this with them. You want to tell them, hey, listen, you're going to be much more successful with me doing a fundraiser versus the guy that sells the chocolates, and this is the reason why. It's because parents are much more likely to purchase, therefore more money, higher perceived value. We could charge more because there's a, you know, what are you going to spend, $2 on the chocolate or $15 on a t-shirt? Well, if the t-shirt has a much higher perceived value, I'll spend more on that. There's a higher return on that. The other thing is, it promotes school spirit. What school administrator or coach isn't going to want parents out in the stand for that track meet, for that football game, the parents wearing shirts that support the school, that support the players, you know, versus a chocolate. You know, you eat it, it's done. There's no school spirit. There's no value in the school. But when all these parents are wearing these hats or, you know, coaches and team moms and all these people are wearing this apparel, it brings a level of school spirit that the school administrators really love. Yeah. And so it's a great thing for that.
I mean, that's what colleges do, right? I mean, you see,
absolutely.
We went to a UCF, USF football game. USF won, by the way, by a lot. but, you know, like everybody in the stands, including us, were sporting their college gear. And there's no absolutely. Reason why high school shouldn't be doing the same thing.
That's exactly right. The other thing also is it brings a higher revenue for schools. Again, if you're selling a $2 chocolate, well, you probably make about $1, maybe a little less. But if you sell it's $15 or $20 t-shirt, you're going to make $3 or $4 or $5 off of that.
Right.
There's a much higher revenue. There's less that you got to sell. You make more, higher revenue for the schools. It's fantastic. Schools prefer apparel, by the way, also. It's less messy. I've got an interesting story if you guys want to hear about it from a coach that he told me. But one of the things that he did was, you know, he was doing the chocolates, which everybody does the chocolates. And one year, he accidentally left the chocolates in his car right before he was going to deliver them to the kids. So they got milk chocolate, basically, without hot chocolates.
Yeah, I know that happens in Florida. I know that happens here.
That's an answer to a rebuttal that you're going to get. Because a rebuttal that you might get when you're talking to somebody about trying to introduce apparel instead of something else is they're going to say, yeah, but they can take these chocolates into work and they could sell a box of these things, you know, 20 of them, one to each employee, person.
Right.
And, but the, you know, one rebuttal to that is say, well, you know, there's a risk involved, but also that for every, you know, one shirt, you probably have to sell 3 or 4 pieces of chocolate.
Yeah.
So it's more work.
Yeah.
You know, it's more work and there's more to it. But I you know, in thinking of that rebuttal, I thought of an alternate rebuttal where it doesn't the fundraising things that you're selling as far as apparel or hats go don't necessarily have to be very, very specific to the school or to the event or to the child. So you can offer alternate apparel. So you can have designs, whether they're city supporting type of things, like how great Tampa Bay is, or St. Pete Beach.
Oh, that's
true. You can offer other things where you can say, listen, I know that you don't have a kid and you don't go to this school and you don't live in this area of town or care about the female basketball team. None of those things are in your wheelhouse.
Why did you use that as an example?
Because you made me think about when I went to a UCF-USF women's basketball game.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you used to be on a women's
basketball
team.
And I was going to wear my UCF shirt, and I said, there's going to be 0 UCF people here.
Right. I don't want to get beat up.
Yeah. So I said, so I went in just a blue shirt.
Okay.
But anyway.
But that's a good idea.
Yeah, but you can offer these alternate things where you can say, but look, you live in Tampa Bay. They've got Gasparilla is an event here. Mm-hmm. So they've got some Gasparilla hats they sell. They've got St. Peach Beach hats.
Yeah.
They've got maybe these funny slogans. So you can offer some alternate things, I think, as a possibility.
I like that idea.
For getting into that. So you can still tap into the folks who are going to buy because you've convinced them to support your kid.
Yeah.
So there's both. There's a bigger potential there.
So Marco, tell me, the chocolate coach, were you able to talk him into going the apparel route?
Well, actually, I didn't because I, you know, obviously we didn't we're not selling apparel or anything like that. But somebody did. Interesting story with that. Do you mind if I share?
Go ahead.
But you know, before I do that, though, I've got one other reason why, too, if you don't mind. Let me just share this really quickly. Interesting, when you're going and you're doing this presentation with the athletic director or the coach, whoever you are, another reason why they should do apparel is because, believe it or not, there's a bigger market base. With chocolates, you got people that are diabetic, you got people that are health conscious.
Oh, that's a good point.
You got people that don't want to spend money in something like that because they just can't have it. They shouldn't have it.
Yeah.
Apparel, who cannot wear clothes, right? I mean, they have to wear apparel. People wear apparel.
I mean, people really don't want to buy chocolate or cookies. A lot of people really don't.
I bought some for my neighbor kid just out of, not obligation, but.
No, but it was.
You know, it was just like, I like him. He's a good guy. You know, I want him to sell. I want to support it. So I bought him, and then I kind of gave him away. You know, it wasn't what I wanted, but I did it. So I see where you're going with that.
Yeah,
and you'd be surprised. It actually was pretty, it's pretty impressive because, again, your market base is actually much larger. People will do that. Not only that, but you know, even school administrators will buy it. Even other coaches, parents, of course, will buy it. But then you've also got, teachers from that school that will buy it also because it's spirit wear. You know, and on Fridays, it's casual Friday, right? So they're able to wear that. And so oftentimes they'll wear that. They'll wear that to the game. So not only to the parents, to the parents, co-workers, that kind of thing, but also to other school administrators.
Yeah, I like that. So are you ready to talk about, like, how you can make all this stuff happen?
I can. Let me share a quick story, though, because what really kind of got my interest, piqued my interest in this was my son plays for, he runs for cross country here at Whittier High School. And, forever, right, we've been buying these big boxes of chips and car washes and gift cards, punch cards and that. I'm done with it, right? You know, it's like, oh, so not again, another one. But I understand that they have to do this.
Right.
And so what really kind of caught my interest was about, I don't know, a couple months ago, a few months ago, he came home with a flyer, and he says, hey, Dad, guess what? They're starting to sell cross-country shirts and Whittier shirts and Cardinal shirts. And I was like, well, that's kind of cool, something a little bit different. And so I ended up meeting with the coach. I was kind of interested in that, of course, being in the apparel industry. You know, it really caught my interest. And so I had a quick interview with him, and I said, hey, so what caused you to change? You know, you've always sold these car washes, all these other things. You know, why first of all, why do you do fundraising? And what he basically told me was this. So I asked him, what does fundraising mean for the cross-country team? And he says, listen, if we don't do fundraising, we basically can't go to any of the big invitationals. We would just do the local meets with the other schools. But, we wouldn't have any warm-ups. We wouldn't have the uniforms would be like the ones that they've used. You know, all 4 years they'd have to use the exact same ones.
Right.
They wouldn't be able to change, the big invitationals. There was all these things that they purchased with this fundraising that makes it a requirement, basically, for them to do that. And I thought that was kind of interesting because the reality is that those clients, if you're thinking about doing fundraising, you really should feel good about this because, believe it or not, while, of course, you're making some money, you're selling something. Yeah, that's true. The reality is you're actually helping these kids do better at what they love. You're actually doing a really good thing. Some of these kids were spotted by scouts at colleges at these invitationals. Had it not been for the fundraising, they couldn't go to the invitationals. So guess what? By you supporting this cause, by you doing this, you're actually helping some of these kids go to these invitationals. You're helping these kids go to these tournaments, these things where they're getting spotted by coaches from colleges and what have you. So you're actually doing a really good thing. I just want to encourage people. It's a great thing to do. So, sorry, guys, go ahead.
Okay, what I was going to say was what's great about the apparel, which is, and what's great about dealing with you, say, as a local, whether you're a local business owner or you're a small business owner dealing directly with these sports programs and schools and things of that nature, what's great about that is you can set up custom things for them that are ongoing. Unlike dealing with the chocolate or the candles, it's a bit of a hassle dealing with that, because somebody has to manage that, manage all the orders, manage all these handwritten notes, count checks. It's a lot of work to do it. And if you've got something that's fairly automated set up for them, you could have the fundraising with apparel essentially never stop. And so you can have, say, for each sporting event, you can offer t-shirts where it's literally, you know, the Panthers always versus sale. The Lions.
Yeah.
And, oh, I like that. You know, so you can have specific event sales. You can have just consistently ready to buy. So if people mess up their shirt or someone says, oh, where'd you get that shirt? Yeah, we ordered those in May.
Right.
You know, sorry. When next time I'll let you know. But no, if you've got something set up for them and it's consistent, then anytime somebody wants a shirt, more people can buy them.
Yeah.
There's consistent revenue coming in. And if you've got good ideas and you've got a good promotional buildup within that community, then you can offer the event shirts and swim meet shirts specifically for big meets. And then in addition to possibly specifically putting kids' names on them and phone numbers.
So
and
even more and like or less customized.
Yeah.
It's like getting the world's best chocolate and then wanting to buy another bar of it and forget it. You have to wait till next year.
Yeah. You know? And that's what happens. And that's often what happens with apparel as well, because it's not always tied into the fundraising. It's often tied into, hey, it's time to order swim shirts.
Right.
Go get the sizes and deal with all of that.
Yeah, that's
where
true.
If you've got an ability, and I don't think Marco's talked about it yet.
Yeah.
But, you know, there is something you can do within Deco Network. Or you know, and just with the internet in general.
Sure.
But where you can actually create and make it very easy for people to buy this stuff. So you reduce that workload of counting checks and somebody wrote the wrong information on it.
And actually get the money. I mean, I can't tell you how many times when my kids were in school that we would write a check to the school for something and it would literally not be deposited for 90 or 120
yeah.
days.
Oh, yeah.
There's one check that's been open at our Bank of America account for like literally 11 years. You know, we went back, there's like a $100 check that nobody ever cashed.
That's funny. That's hilarious. Wow. Well, you know, and that was actually what I thought was interesting. So the reason why, so the change in direction, obviously this coach had done, you know, everything under the sun as far as fundraising. And the thing that really kind of inspired him to do apparel was his company, out of Texas, sent him this flyer, and this flyer basically has, it's you know, it's ready to give away, but it's got sweatpants and t-shirts and hoodies and socks and duffel bags, all with the, you know, Cardinal logo on there. Some of them said cross country, some of them didn't, and it makes sense that not, you know, you don't want to put cross country on everything because then you could sell to a wider audience, that kind of thing. And so it really caught his interest and he did it. Now check this out. So he has 70 athletes in cross country, and he had requested or encouraged them or motivated them. He can't force them, but he encouraged them to sell a minimum of 5 items per athlete. Yeah. And so apparently he did pretty well. Apparently he made I don't have the numbers here with me, but I think all of them, all of his athletes, all 70 of them sold at least 5, and most sold over 10. So it was actually really successful. Now here's the problem though. As you said earlier, was it was kind of a one and done type of thing. You know, they loved it because they made a lot of money off of it. Kids loved it. The parents loved it. You know, you know, teachers were wearing the wear, that kind of stuff, and it was good apparel, and the fundraising was a good option. But here's the thing, it was a one and done, because once it was closed, he had to go in there and manually upload the order. He said it took about 5 hours to place the order. It was not a very easy system that this company used.
Right.
And so I asked him, so what would you do differently if you could really do this? He goes, well, you know, honestly, if there was a web store, or if there was a way for parents to go on to a store and order online instead of having the order form, I think it would be better. And the reason why is because this, he had a lot of requests from people saying, well, you know what, I want to buy more shirts, but do you take a credit card? They don't have the cash, or they don't, you know, they rather use a credit card.
Yeah.
You can't take a credit card when you do a paper order, right? You need a check or you need cash. Some of the kids lost the cash, unfortunately, or lost the check, so they had to go back and do that.
Yeah, I'm doing air quotes right now. They lost the cash.
Yes. Apparently, they had new running shoes, too. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, but, that's the way it works.
but the reality is, he says, listen, if there was a way to do it online, I think it would be so much easier. I don't have to deal with it. You know, the parents go on there, they order. You know, parents could maybe we had little business cards or something written out where it had the URL where it says, hey, you know, support it, do this online. Here's the do. They could do it on their cell phone. They could do it on their, you know, iPad or whatever. And so it's kind of interesting because that's I wasn't trying to sell him Deco Network because, you know, obviously he's not a decorator or anything like that.
Yeah.
But when I started telling him about what we can do with our platform, it just blew his mind. He's like, well, why aren't these companies using you guys? Yeah. And the reality with Deco Network, not only are we the business tools for the business, we've talked about that in the past for the quote, the ordering, the processing, the management, all that kind of stuff, but we also have this really great feature called campaigns. With campaigns, you can set up an individual product like that. You could say, well, look, I want to make, it's got a little sliding bar, and you say, how much money do you want to make? You know, your cost is $10. Well, you slide it and say, well, I want to make $10, so it'll sell for $20, and it tells you, okay, well, you know, if you sell 1,000 shirts, this is how much you're going to make, and that kind of thing. And it's got a timer. So we're all kind of familiar with those. It's really simple to set up. You can do it in Deco Network. Share that URL with all the students, all the parents. Send that email blast out to all the faculty. Hey, support the, you know, the cross country using this. It'd be hugely successful.
Wait. I want to back up for a minute because you went through some really cool stuff very quickly.
Mm.
So what you're saying is that an apparel decorator could set up a page on a school's behalf, for example. And yep. Then the principal or the coach can go in and use the slider and say, you know, I want to make $15 a shirt, so my cost is 10, I'll sell it for 25.
Yep.
And then they can set, okay, here's what I want to make. I want to make $5,000 on this fundraising effort. And can that amount be displayed, like, you know, 10 shirts to go or $5,000
yes.
to go?
Yep, it because it is a fundraising campaign. It actually has a little countdown clock on there, so when the parents go on there, when the faculty goes on there, they could see that hey, there's 10 more days left.
Okay.
They're this close to the goal, to reaching the goal. So it's really nice about that.
So you as an apparel decorator and your customer can sit down and go, okay, how much money do you want to make? Now the conversation
yes.
isn't about how many shirts do you want to buy.
Yes.
About how much money do you want to make? Okay, you want to make this? Let's see. How many shirts can we sell?
Yep.
You know, okay, here's the profit. You can see like how you price it. And then they send out a link and their customers just log in and order.
Yep. Yep.
It's happening
exactly
in real time,
yeah.
which is very cool because oftentimes with everything else that you're doing, everyone's going around and then they all spend hours and hours filling out things and finding the lost checks
yeah.
and the missing money and all of this work. Then all the kids meet in some school assembly or somebody does the math and then they say, we earned this.
Do you still have to, if you do the web thing, do you still have to keep loose cash and 3 dimes in a ripped envelope?
That's the beauty of it.
Is that required or?
So you know, it kind of goes back to your earlier comment, Mark, was, you know, do you have a check that's outstanding for you know, tons of years here. What's really neat about this is one of the problems with working with schools is payment. Any decorator that's listening to this, any company that's listening to this, has ever dealt with a school knows exactly what I'm talking about. It could be 60, 90, 120 days before you see payment. The problem with that is you put that money up front in capital to buy all those shirts, to buy that ink, you know, to buy that pre-treatment, right? Whatever process you use, the thread, all you spent thousands of dollars to fulfill this order, and you may not see that for 3 or 4 months. That doesn't work for a lot of companies. So the way we do it here with Deco Network is actually really cool. We've essentially trying to change the tables in that when the parents go on there, they put their credit card, that money's not going to school. It's actually going to you. You're getting that money up front, and now you're paying that school commission. So you kind of swapped the tables here, which is
nice.
Which is really important.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're capturing that money up front. You're using that money to buy the shirts, to buy the products that you need, to pay your staff, obviously all for you to make a profit. And then you're turning over and giving that money to the school now. So you've really swapped that role. It's really important that you get that money up front.
Man, that is so much easier for the school too. Because there's no liability, you know, with hanging around with all that cash.
That's it.
Never have a student or a teacher decide to keep some, you know, or lose some, or whatever the scoop is, and you're getting a credit card or PayPal or whatever it is in advance for your shirts before you deliver them.
That's exactly right.
You can offer more product now.
Yeah.
Because if you're waiting on, if you have to order a lot of things, boxes of garments ahead of time, all for one particular thing, and you know you're going to have to wait months to get paid, you're probably not going to want to say, well, I'm going to do sweatshirts and sweatpants and hoodies and hats and t-shirts. There's a lot of risk in there in putting all of that together, and there's a lot of work in that compared to when you know that the fund is going to come to you directly, you can reduce your risk.
Listen, I'm going to do a hard pitch for DTG right now, because in this situation, if you get an order for 5 shirts overnight, you can print those 5 shirts and ship them out to a customer. If you get an order for 2 hats the next night, you can print or embroider those 2 hats. You don't have to be a screen printer and pre-print, oh, I think I'm going to get an order for 150 of these and have 10 left over in triple XL. You know what I mean? You're basically printing to order.
And you can send directly to the customer
if
they want to. So you can also take the delivery out of their hands if you want to as well, if you give that option within the purchase.
Honestly, this makes me want to become a school principal just so I can do this.
Really?
let me give you another benefit.
Heck to kids all day.
Well, that's a bonus.
Okay.
Let me give you another benefit. You know, anybody listening to this is always wondering, how do I grow my market base? How do I get more clients, right? And getting a client can be very expensive. But check this out. So let's just say 70 athletes, right? And each one of those 70 athletes sells, you know, 5 pieces. So maybe let's say that's another 300 people that are purchasing. Well, one of the things that you could do when you make that agreement with that school is say, listen, I'll give you a higher percentage, but I get to market to these people. And maybe you're still marketing more shirts from your high school, from Tampa, you know, Tampa High School, whatever it is, right? But now also you get to keep that client and you get to market to that client. So put a marketing plan together so that you can say, hey, you know, last month you bought these shirts. Did you know that now we have these hoodies, for example?
Yeah.
And you start doing that with 3 or 4 or 5, then that's just one sport. You do that with the football team. You do it with the cheer. You do it with the water polo. You do it with all these different schools and different sports. We're just talking about schools and sports. Now, you know, you talk about churches and all these other things, right? But all of a sudden now you've got another 2, 3, 4, 5,000 additional clients that you've earned. Not necessarily just through all your efforts, but through the school's efforts, through the coach's efforts.
I love that idea for a couple of reasons. And first of all, I have a very serious question. Are there really school-based water polo teams? I didn't realize
there are. Absolutely. It's a big thing here in L.A.
There you go.
In L.A.
There's a lot of big things in L.A.
That explains it. There's a lot of things that people do in L.A. that they don't really do anywhere else. So you said something great there. So let's say you're the coach of a team. And, you know, you do a fundraiser on, you know, or you're talking to that coach and you help them out with a fundraiser on track and field shirts. And a couple things can happen. On the bottom, you can market your own company. Say, cut a deal. I'll tell you what, I'll sell you the shirt for a little bit cheaper. If on the bottom of that page that I do for you, I can put, you know, hey, click here for more custom apparel options. You know, or you can reach an agreement with that school and say, look, I'm going to offer other apparel for your school. I'll put it on your store and I'll give you commission on everything.
Yep.
And what I'm kind of written down here while you guys were chatting, it kind of, you know, something kind of came into my head. So you can also build this plan, this marketing plan, and pitch this to the organizer. So you say, So what we're going to do for you to help you reach a specific goal, but then also keep the funds flowing in, is we're going to start with a campaign. Okay. In the campaign, you're going to say you want to earn $5,000. This is what we're going to sell it for. This is what you're going to make per. These are all our goals. We're going to set up a campaign. Within that campaign, we're going to ask folks as they're checking out, if it's okay, if we communicate them with email about further apparel specific to your school.
Yeah.
And within that, we're also going to advise them that within that, we will remarket to those people who have already purchased apparel from your school. So as the weather seasons change, we will offer apparel that's appropriate for that.
Yeah.
As the sports seasons change, we'll offer apparel that's appropriate for that, in addition to just general spirit wear. And we'll advise these people that a percentage of all of these sales are going to go back to the school. So we do a single campaign where you earn $5,000, but maybe every month you're getting in a trickle of $500 or whatever goals you're setting. But you're taking care of all of that post-marketing work for them. So you're not involved anymore unless you want me to change something or stop it.
Yeah.
And I'll give you the freedom for me to stop it at any point in time. But as the season changes, we're going to come out and say hoodies are now available now that it's fall time.
Yeah.
And so on and so forth.
And that's regular revenue for the apparel decorator.
It's regular revenue for the apparel decorator.
By year two, the school and the students and the teachers and the parents, they're just going to know where to go.
Yes.
Everybody's going to go to the same place to buy this stuff.
Not only that, but you know, those parents, well, they might be the president of their local chapter of commerce, and all of a sudden when they need something, they're, hey, you know what, that printer use, boom, why don't we get the work from them? Or, you know, maybe that one parent is part of a softball team on, they play it on the weekends. Well, when they need shirts, who are they going to go to? That guy that they remember, that company that they did work with before. So, you know, your cost per lead, your cost per client is dramatically lower if you use this functionality, or you use this method in acquiring these contacts versus trying to, you know, advertise on Google or trying to advertise in the local newspaper or whatever. That's just expensive. This is cheap.
Here's what I love about that is everyone that's listening to this podcast should have already listened to the two Know Your Numbers podcasts that we did.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stress that enough.
Yeah.
Is imagine, go back and pick a high school that you cut this kind of a deal with and plug that into your Know Your Numbers spreadsheet and figure out what that could mean for the lifetime of your business.
And we spoke about in the Know Your Numbers episode, I believe, did we call it like the R factor?
Referral factor.
And like kind of this magic number that you almost have to, it's an arbitrary number. You have to kind of guess at it.
Yeah.
But we, and the example that we used was, one example I can recall that we used was a band from out of town is coming in and they're looking to get some shirts made to sell at their event.
Right.
The chances of them sending you referral business is probably low.
Yeah, because they probably suck anyway.
Yeah.
They're not going to be a band in another year.
But they came into town, they ran out of shirts, they said, hey, we need shirts for our fans. They go to you, they say, can you make me shirts by our concert on Friday? Sure, I can do it. You'll probably never hear from them again, so you want to make sure that that's a profitable deal for you.
Right.
With this, you've got that R factor is high.
Yeah, not only are they going to keep coming back, so the repetition of that business is high, but everybody that wears one of those shirts and goes through that process is going to be a potential referral.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot to it. And then in addition to the concept of you branding your own shirts, you know, with your information. So we had talked about with some vinyl, like a great thing that people can do with vinyl transfers is to basically make themselves a little mini tag they can put in the shirt with vinyl, whether it's a phone number or a web address or your company name.
Yeah.
And then it's in the shirt where people can look and see. But they would actually use that. On a concert shirt, the chances of somebody looking at that and needing it doesn't matter. But when it's for school fundraisers and it's that specific type of, when I'm thinking about a band, I'm not thinking about the custom apparel industry.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about shirts.
Yeah.
When I think of a school shirt, I feel that they went somewhere locally and got that shirt made. Where did they go? The answer can be right there. So the R factor's high on this.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And if you don't know what Mark's talking about, it's because you didn't listen to those podcasts. So go back and do it.
And to know your numbers.
Yeah. All right, Marco, this is it's back to you, because we've talked about a couple of things here. Can you kind of describe maybe specifically as a custom t-shirt printer, embroiderer, for example, how does that work for me? Like, what am I physically doing?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we talked about the opportunity. We talked about the amount of potential work out there for you. The question really then begs to answer is, all right, well, how do I manage this? You know, let's just say we do get 300 orders. Can I manage this traditional way? Well, yeah, of course you can, but it's very costly. It's very time-consuming. So what I'm here to say is we've got some incredible tools in Deco Network built around the ability to not only manage that, but manage that efficiently. So with Deco Network, you know, when you sign up, if you go to the website, I'll give you that in just a second here, but if you go to Deco Network and you sign up, one of the things that you'll find is on our storage level, you're going to have the ability to create not only your one store, which will be your store, but also you get a 99 additional stores. So you can go to the schools, you can go to the teams, and you can build that. What's really great about that is you can build these affiliate stores or campaign stores, two different things, but you can build these. Parents go on there and they order. Let's just say you get 300 orders. Okay, great. Well, traditionally, again, that means that the coach has got to give you all this money, he's got to give you all these order forms, and you have to try to make sense of all that. Forget about that. Because they're going on to these affiliate stores or campaign stores, that orders are actually going into your back end. It's going into your business hub, which is included in all our levels. That business hub, which we've talked about quite a bit, does consolidate all your orders. So it says, hey, listen, you got 300 orders. You need to order these items from Sanmar or SNS or whoever it is. It's actually going to get all these orders, guys. It's gonna automatically say, hey, listen, order these 500 shirts from this company, these, you know, sweatshirts from this company. And through our system, not only does it consolidate all these orders, which is right there alone will save you hours and hours of work, but if you do use like a company like Sanmar or SNS or Bodica Roads, we actually have live ordering through them. So what that basically means is with a click of a button, it will digitally send them that order. So it consolidates it, it orders it. When those orders come in, you receive those, and now it goes into your production mode. And so whoever's in your production, they can log in and they can see their orders and they can process those orders. They can download the artwork, and if they need to download the artwork and they
can produce. So what you just said was, is really, you don't have to do anything. So because once the school store or the campaign is set up, the customer is going to place their own order.
Yep.
The system is going to order the blanks by itself. And if you have somebody doing the actual printing or embroidery or whatever it is for you, then they can go in there and see what the orders are for the day and just take care of it.
That's it.
And in addition to that, you can also, it could even be like GHS, Gaither High School, GHSspiritwear.com could be the URL that send people to.
Absolutely.
Which is, that's very cool.
Yeah, that's huge. Okay.
So, you know, the thing is with the opportunity, if you get one sport and all of a sudden that sport sees, that coach sees, they did well and they talk to another coach, and then you get another sport, and then you get another sport, and then you get another school, and then you get another, you know, other opportunity for fundraising, it becomes, or it can become, quite overwhelming. And so if you don't have the right tools, while the opportunity is absolutely 100% there, the opportunity can also create a vacuum in that you can't even manage it, and then you create bad experiences for the coach, and then they're not going to want to do this. So it's really important that you get tools early on and you prepare for this, because you don't want to try preparing for this as you're getting these orders, because it's too late at that point.
Right.
You want to prepare for it. So my what I'd like to encourage everybody to do is to go to coldesi.deconetwork.com, and again, that's coldesi.deconetwork.com. And there's a video on there. You can see the video, demo video that goes through Deco Network and what it could do for you. Obviously, in this conversation, we've only talked about fundraising, but there's so much more that you can use Deco Network for. And, you know, you can sign up right online. We don't have any contracts. It's month-to-month. We don't have a setup fee. And our storage level does, in fact, give you those 100 total stores that you can have. So all the tools that you need are built into it. You invest a little time to get to know it, to get to your product set up, your pricing set up, and then, you know what, guys, it's at that point the doors are open for you now to start building on this business model.
It's a big deal, and I appreciate everything you said there, Marco, because we're talking about two different things. We're talking about the size of the market and the amount of money that an apparel decorator can make, period, in the yep. in the fundraising style business, right? Which yes. is working with mostly public organizations to, instead of selling stuff that people don't really want, to stuff that people will want and will actually, you know, wear on a regular basis.
Yep.
And then we're talking about how you can do that more easily and more efficiently for both the customer, which is the school or the coach or the principal or the church or whatever it is, and for the apparel decorator.
That's it.
Okay. And I think that 28 is going to be a pretty big year. I think yeah. that, you know, for the CAS podcast, you know, being 28, I think our goal here was to kind of introduce the fundraising market to our audience, and describe how big an opportunity, how large of an opportunity, for them to make money is. And I think we wrapped it up kind of nicely into how it's great for the end user customer too.
Yeah, I think this is encouraging.
Yeah.
This is really encouraging because we constantly talk about this and we deal with this in the Custom Apparel Startups Facebook group and with our customers at Coleman & Company when they call in. People are asking, you know, how can I grow my business differently? How can I do more? I'm having a hard time with XYZ.
Yeah, they hit a slow spot. Or they
yeah,
stick someplace.
And they hit these or they hit these walls where there's not enough automation built into their business. So they're kind of getting into, you know, that thing that happens with business is you're working the amount of time you can actually do the work
yeah.
and sell and handle.
They physically
you know,
can't grow anymore.
Yeah, they physically can't go anymore. And when you're setting up things and you're working in this fundraising market, you get a lot. So this is why it's encouraging to me. You know, for one, you're actually helping people,
yeah.
which is cool. You know, I mean, that's just great is the fact that you yeah. know that you can actually make a physical difference in a school or a sport or a youth group or, you know, even if it's adult softball. I mean, it doesn't matter who it is.
Yeah.
You're physically helping some people raise some money or charities. You are getting – you're getting this revenue stream that you can make consistent. If we
yes.
talk about the remarketing in these campaigns
yes.
or having high art factor customers.
Yeah.
And then if you're using something like Deco Network, or if you already have something already set up in your business, you've got automation built in, which
yeah.
means it's less work.
Yeah.
Than just if we use the same idea of taking orders by hand, whether it's chocolates or t-shirts.
Right.
If you've got automation. So all of those things together is just extremely encouraging to me when I think about a small business trying to take things to the next level.
Yeah, because you could actually make more money more easily and not work as hard. You know, maybe cut a few hours off of your day.
How about that?
How about that? That would be weird.
Yeah,
would be weird
yeah, because you do all of this so you can go to your kids' softball game,
right? Instead of being busy printing shirts or,
yeah,
or
yeah.
spending all of your profits buying candles and chocolate.
Yeah, there you go.
And you know, guys, it's really all about efficiencies. And I appreciate what you just said because that's exactly right. It's all about efficiencies, and. You know, you can grow, but you probably can't grow at the rate you're growing if you're using old antiquated ways of doing business. You know, there's better tools out there, and, you know, I think Deco Network certainly is the premier tool for that. So, you know, give us a shot. Take a look at us and see, you know, give us a call. I'd love to talk to you a little bit more about how we can help you with those efficiencies and just some processing and order. Real quick, guys, if you don't mind, I'm just going to give you this quick tidbit.
Yeah.
You know, people that use Business Hub to process orders, on average, we did a poll and we did this ROI. I think Mark, you and I have spoken about this,
yeah.
And our findings were that on average, clients saved about 70% of their time when they did a quote and order through Business Hub versus the traditional way of doing it in this industry. So 70% of their time saved in just processing an order.
Yeah.
So you know. Again, you can do all this. There's so much that you can do, but you got to look at your efficiencies before you even get started.
Yeah. So I've got some homework for all of you guys out there that are listening. And the first one is to go check out coldesi.deconetwork.com. And the second one is to kind of write down the potential markets that you see. If your kids are in baseball, If your neighbor does football, if your church has fundraising events, just look for the obvious opportunities and start thinking how you might take advantage of those.
Absolutely.
Make sure that you go back and listen to the Know Your Numbers podcast so you can really appreciate the size of the opportunity on an ongoing basis if you land some of these schools organizations as a regular customer. And then I want you to find out now that CAS podcast is 28 years old. I don't know why that, or 28 episodes old. I don't know why that's appealing to me so much today. But well, that,
I'm glad
that
it is.
Huh?
I'm glad it is.
Okay. I'm but happy. So you're going to spend some time trying to figure out how you can inject a little bit more profit for you into the conversation.
Well, guys, congratulations on episode 28. You guys have done a great job, and the education that people are getting off these efforts that you guys are doing is incredible. So congratulations.
Thanks for being a part of it. And if you know anyone else named Mark or Marco, or where the base of their name is Mark, we'd love to have them on our podcast too.
If we could all four of us do it.
Just Mark, Marco, and
Marcel.
Marcel.
I mean, my name is Marcelino for anybody who did not know that, but I go by Mark.
Yeah.
But I still want
another
one.
That's probably best.
Marcus. We can find a Marcus. I do know a Marcus who might be interested.
I don't care. Just bring him.
Okay. There we go.
All right. Thanks, guys. thanks, Marco from Deco Network. I appreciate
that. My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for all of you listening to the Custom Apparel Startups podcast, episode number 28. Feel free to share. Come see us on the Custom Apparel Startups Facebook page.
Yeah, this has been Mark Vila here from Coleman & Company.
And Mark Stevenson from Coldesi. You guys have a good business.